Sullivan's house, he's moving off the big one.
Are you serious?
Okay, I guess we're about ready to go, so let's call to order the January 2013 Planning and Zoning Commission for the Town of Kiri Beach. First item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next item is approval of the minutes from December 4th of 2012.
That's what you were here.
Yeah, that's the only one. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, is there a second? Any further discussion?
Sorry.
Okay, we've got a second over here. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next item is old business. We have two items that we've continued a couple meetings, and that is the conditional use permit, research update, further discussion. What other municipalities have mixed-use CUP districts? We had a bit of discussion the last couple of months, but I believe that Alan, found a very short and succinct mixed-use ordinance here that, maybe, Alan, you'd like to kind of present this to the other two members?
This is a little town near Boone in West Jefferson, North Carolina. I had a piece of property up there, spent some time there. Their downtown district used to be, I guess there was a lot of furniture factories. When that industry pulled out, they got mixed use. They turned some into condos with shops underneath. And it's just a neat little town, real progressive. It's got a great art community now, a lot of art galleries, a lot of people. When I was there talking to people, a lot of people coming, moving from Asheville, going there. It's just a little bit smaller, pretty quaint. So that's what made me look at theirs to see what they were doing. And I didn't think it would be too complicated, but it's pretty simple. There are some things that probably have to be tweaked in it. They use the Board of Adjustment. Then they go to the zoning administrator, and then they go to the Board of Adjustment for approvals. I think it should probably go to us. Board of Adjustment's not set up to approve stuff like that here in Beach. Once you go through it, we either add to it or make a few changes or whatever needs to be done. It might be a starting point if everybody agrees to it.
I was actually doing a lot of thinking because we've been, kind of two approaches. One is to get very complicated. Rightsville Beach and some other ones that we've talked about have very complicated mechanisms that, describe what it has to look like in the front, specifics about parking and everything like that. And the more I was thinking about this today, actually, and, thinking we'd have this discussion, the more I believe that this is the approach. Again, with some tweaking, is just keep it very, very simple. The area fronting the street shall be landscaped with trees, grass, shrubs, and flowers in keeping with the general scheme of the town. I would say, obviously, that there has to be a public hearing, for any approval. And this would be under our conditional use permit. And then I would say the approval has to be by P&Z, by the building inspector, and by the city council. So any mixed use would have to go through a three-step type process. And I would also say that we should define what sort of things would have to be submitted. For example, a landscape plan, a elevation showing what it would look like. Basically the sort of things that we're asking for. Trees, grass, shrubs, and flowers would be in a landscape plan. And also I think we should have some determination about signage, so there'd have to be a sign plan that fits within the scheme of the community, because I don't believe we have an ordinance. Our sign ordinance isn't applicable to that right now, I don't believe. And then we'd have to have some sort of a elevation that shows what the building would look like. know, as part of that process. And I think with that, that may be the way to go, you know, to deal with this. I mean, that certainly would allow the concerns of any neighbors to be expressed. It would allow us to make sure that, you know, we could simply not approve it if it doesn't fit, you know, if the council, P&Z, and the building inspector doesn't feel that it fits within the community in terms of the landscaping. Also, we should have a parking, so that, you know, there'd have to be a parking plan, there'd have to be a landscape plan, there'd have to be an elevation, and there would have to be a signage plan submitted as part of that approval process. And that might be the simplest and most straightforward and probably most appropriate, I think, for what we're trying to do with that particular stretch of street.
I think it's, you know, they have a preliminary meeting with the zoning administrator and their board of adjustment, but, which I think is a good idea because, you know, they bring that preliminary stuff to a conference, basically, at one of our meetings with John and us, and they throw around their ideas, and we tell them which way the town wants to go, and then they do their final set of plans.
Do they have in here their requirements for parking?
No, it just says off-street parking shall be sufficient to meet the requirements of the ordinance. We actually do, and this is kind of what led to our second discussion here, we actually do have parking requirements for home-based businesses, which I didn't realize until about 2 months ago, because I imagine every home-based business in Curie Beach violates that rule right now. So, you know, I think that's kind of like what I like here because, you know, the sort of things that were, and we should probably have some sort of a description about the mixed use, about the type of businesses that were, that would be a fifth thing that would have to be approved. It would be the use, you know, so we'd have to prove the use also.
On the parking, would we rely on the current ordinances or do we need to write a specific part of this ordinance for mixed use parking?
I think you're going to have to add, I think you're going to have a runoff for mixed use.
That was my thought. And would it be something as simple as parking has to meet the residential requirements and a couple of, and you're even a couple of incentives. One approach is to waive any additional parking for the commercial part of it, because the whole idea is to walk to these businesses. Mm-hmm. And obviously along Tay Avenue, where is somebody going to add additional parking?
No, they couldn't add off-street parking, other than maybe a long driveway. Yeah. I guess they could do.
That's the thought I've had, is you make sure you have parking for the residential portion, and to brainstorm it here, but no other parking for the commercial part of it. And they park elsewhere in town and the mixed use district. You're walking up and down the sidewalks to the various businesses. And maybe that's too simplistic.
Well, the nice thing about the statement here, off-street parking shall be sufficient to meet the requirements, is that they would have to come in, you know, they would have to come in, describe the use, you know, specifically. So, you know, the use is a antique store or an art gallery or something like that. Then the parking plan, and basically would, you know, have to be off-street, which would be right there in the driveway, that would have to fit within the coverage of our existing ordinance on driveways. You know, it would basically be up to the public hearing and P&Z and the building inspector to say, well, do you need an extra space there? Is there sufficient space on the driveway for for that particular use? And the other thing too is, remember, part of the street already has on-street parking, the diagonal parking right there, and then part of the doesn't have it. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, keeping it flexible like this would allow, I think, simply to look at the situation, look at the use, you know, and then make a determination if we feel that it would be too busy. You know, for example, a Starbucks or something like that might not be appropriate, given that there might only be two spaces, in which case it would be denied. Or maybe we might feel that it would be appropriate if, you know, they could argue that more people would walk down to it than drive up to it. So again, the more I think about it, I really like the idea of keeping it as flexible as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as they do submit these five elements, you know, the parking, let's see, the five elements would be the parking plan,
landscape
plan, elevation, use, there was one other two. Oh, sign. signage. And if we allow public hearing, require public hearing and approval by all three P&amp;Z building inspectors and city council, I think that probably protects everything and creates enough flexibility that to look at each situation, because it is a unique, very, very unique. And I think we spent a lot of time trying to develop 15 pages of ordinance for something that may not ever occur.
Final approval through us that required findings of fact. It has quite almost have three. And that's additional findings of fact, but I think it's good. I think that really supports the decision. It's not going to affect the health and safety of persons residing or working in the neighborhoods next to that.
Right. Well, I think you're suggesting that we just put this under our existing conditional use permit process. Special use permit process.
It could be separate. It could be conditional use. I always get confused on the two.
There's really not. It's just. But I think it should be part of the special use permit process. It seems to me. We could just have a separate section, mixed uses under the special use permit as an overlay district. You have to define the overlay district as being the stretch that we're talking about on the road, which would be a mixed use overlay district, and then we have the approval of the mixed use as part of the special use permit process based upon the criteria that we've talked about. And that way we don't have to create a whole new conditional use permitting process or anything like that.
Okay. They've already got a section in here that would apply to mixed use. Talks about PUDs. It defines the PUDs down there as being any development with more than one principal building or use.
This is in our special use permit?
This is in this stuff right now.
What is that?
This is in our special use permit?
No, this is in the proposed.
This thing right here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, but it's really only the last page, because this is a whole conditional use thing which covers a lot of things that we've already covered in our special use permit. So we don't want to do that. We're interested in just kind of the last page. And can we take the last page with the sort of things that we talked about and slide that into our special use permit part of the ordinance already?
Okay.
That would be the simplest way of doing it. And then we'd either have to set up an overlay district, however that would be done. That may have to be in the zoning part of it. An overlay district for a mixed use overlay district defined as, however we want to define it up and down there, but adjacent to. To me, that's the simplest way of doing it without going through developing a whole new conditional use permit process or a whole new zoning process.
Yep.
Well, why don't we take this and the special use that we already have in our zoning board. Did you come up with some ideas for next month's meeting?
Okay. This is good, but we've already got something like this already in place with the exception of the mixed use component of it. Because this deals with a lot of, multifamily dwellings, restaurants, we already have all that stuff in our zoning, in our special use permit. Do you know the legal difference between a special use permit and a conditional use permit? The only thing that I believe, and this goes back to my California days, because we had special use permit and conditional use permit. A conditional use permit can be withdrawn because it's conditional upon certain activities. So you can withdraw that use. So you use a conditional use permit, for example, if you had a movie theater and you didn't want to have the bright light shining after 1 o'clock in the morning. So you can do a conditional use. You can use that site as a movie theater conditional upon A, B, C, and D. And if they violate that, then you can pull that use and they have to shut it down. And, you know, that's how my understanding conditional use permits are different than special use permits. But actually, we wouldn't be doing that. This would technically be a special use permit because it's not conditional. We're actually approving it subject to all these sort of things. So it's actually more appropriate, I think, here to have it as a special use permit. Does that make sense?
I mean, they're pretty much the same as me. You put conditions on both of them.
Yeah.
It seems like it's more conditional than special.
The only thing I saw in there as far as pulling the conditional use permit was if one significant changes were made during the building process and they weren't approved, or two, you didn't start the building process within a year.
Yeah, I think in North Carolina, people use special use permit and conditional use permit kind of interchangeably, depending on what, but I think in some states there are actually very important legal differences, but I don't think that's the case in North Carolina. Because a lot of the stuff they have here in conditional use permit, we actually have in our special use permit process. Is that a question we can ask?
Yes, it is.
An attorney, you know, since we're talking about this? I mean,
would y'all like for him to attend next month?
At what cost?
Well, it's going to cost, but what I'd like to do is we'll send him the minutes to this meeting and tell him to be prepared for it.
What do you think?
He doesn't get paid very much to start with, so it's...
No, we're talking about a whole 4 hour.
Oh, you mean a real attorney?
We don't invite them very much. It costs about $250.
We only use fake
attorneys.
Why can't we... would it be cheaper to pay for a phone call, find out the definition?
Yeah, it's just simple.
And maybe have him at the third, like, we can put all our stuff together and be prepared for him instead of us trying to...
Yeah, because it's going to, you know, I mean, clearly this is going to have to go to a public hearing anyway, so it's got to be clear through the attorney. But, you know, to ask the difference between a conditional use permit and a special use permit in North Carolina and whether a mixed use of the nature that we're talking about based upon the minutes here would be more appropriate as under our existing special use permit process, or do we need to create a whole new conditional use permit?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, if an owner over there wants to start a business and the permit that you give him is for a coffee shop, okay, and he goes out of business, does that permit as a special use permit transfer to the next owner, or is
that's
it a
good
conditional
point.
Use that it's only a permit as, you know, as long as it's a coffee shop, and then it's withdrawn if they go out of business or close? Maybe that's why they have it as a conditional
one. And that's actually something that should be put in, you know, whether it the permitted use. I mean, it's more than a permitted use. It's a. It's also the approval of some design characteristics and landscape plan and parking and all that sort of thing. So, you know, does that carry forward? In one sense, I mean, if we're going to prove what the outside looks like, you know, we can't ask them to tear it down, but we could ask them to take down the signs. We could, you know, do some of those things if the coffee shop is out of business. So,
well, I don't think there's any reason we can't have them reapply. There's a change of use. They have to reapply. Even if they want to have the coffee shop and add an art gallery to the coffee shop, they should have to come in.
Right.
Because they may change their parking requirements. They should go back
to the grandfather.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a fairly simple process. I don't know if that would be the way you would do it.
Right. The other thing that just kind of, as Emily just was talking right there, but also, do we want to, you know, have an owner occupied? Do we want to have, you know, let's say somebody owns that piece of property, and since it's mixed use, you'd have living above it. Do we have a situation where they could rent the commercial part of it to somebody different than who's residing upstairs? You know, I mean, is there anything like that? That
I think you're going to find that people are going to apply. Like the one that came to us, they didn't have renters living downstairs for the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They had a plan.
Right.
But they didn't have any use for the downstairs.
That was why we had nothing for mixed use, we didn't have any uses for anything, so they basically could put whatever they wanted in that zone, in that downstairs.
Right, right.
Now, I think if it's more than just, you know, if it's one house with a store under it, I personally don't think it should be owner occupied, I think you should let them. I think that's incentive, like, to bring business in, why wouldn't you let someone else run the coffee shop downstairs?
Yeah, no, I'd rather be upstairs.
What if you own the coffee shop, but you already live in Cary Beach and you want your manager to live there on site?
That's why I think it should be, I think it should be open to investors and people who want.
So only the owner can live there?
Upstairs and the business.
I think it should be open to anybody.
Just as.
I think it should be, is for incentive for investors to come in if they want to have rental units up top and a coffee shop on there.
And it could be rented to two different.
It could be rented to.
I mean, that would be my general.
Well, as we control the use, it should be no problem.
And what it looks like.
Right.
You know, control the use and what it looks like.
Maybe control that you can't have four families up there, four units. It's a commercial business downstairs, it's single family upstairs. Southport had theirs, they limited to two bedrooms upstairs, right? They really controlled it.
Well, in fact, we probably want, in fact, this is a good conversation because we're adding elements to this now. There's already regulations as to the residential uses over in that residential, because that is technically a residential.
And your parking requirements are going to limit.
Yeah. You've got parking requirements and you already have limitations on the residential, and that wouldn't change. So one thing we need to have is here is that approval of the special use permit for mixed use doesn't change any of the residential requirements. I mean, there are residential requirements about, you know, how many families they can put up there and how many units and stuff like that. I mean, the most they can have is two units.
Depends on where it's at, but yeah.
Is there any place over there in that?
On Kelly Street?
No, it's just two units.
It's just two units, okay. Is there anything else that kind of just pops up that we would want to kind of put in there?
I've got one thing that when I was reading the information on Atlanta that really hit home, and it's in this York County, South Carolina that I found as well. In the guidelines, it says articulating the goals will help citizens and elected officials better understand the big picture and long-term community benefits. And York County says almost the same thing. Putting mixed-use goals along with an overall vision at the beginning of the ordinance with application procedures at the end can be an effective strategy in bringing developers on board. If we want to promote it.
We want to put a paragraph as an introductory, you know, basically a purpose of.
And the Atlanta one, on page 33 of the Atlanta, it's got the purpose, and it's got 10 items. This is the purpose of mixed use. And it just kind of creates, here's the vision, here's why we're doing it. Allow a mixture of complementary land uses, develop in commercial and mixed use areas, provide flexibility. Okay. Kind of walks you through, it paints a picture.
Do you want to take, since you brought it up, do you want to take the role of writing just an introductory paragraph to that section?
I mean, I don't want to get all wordy and go page to page, but
no,
something
no,
that.
But, you know, I mean, but just, you know, kind of the purpose of what we're trying to do with the other thing, too, that raises is that this whole thing came about in our discussion is that already a lot of commercial activities are allowed in residential areas, including that area there. Do we want to replace the existing use that doesn't require any special or conditional use requirement with this, or still allow the things that I believe one would be a museum? I think museums are allowed over there without any additional approval process. Remember what? Do you have a list of what's allowed over there?
Okay. I'll tell you.
Schools, museums. It's an odd zoning that was put in place.
Churches, places of worship, college, schools, public library, public museums, art galleries, public buildings, customary home occupations, dressmaking, music teaching, preserving, home cooking, laundry, offices of resident members of recognized professions, doctors, dentists, engineers, lawyers, architects.
So, I mean, the way it's written right now, there's a lot of things, a lot of the things that we're talking about trying to attract here is already allowed over there, even without having a special use permit process. Somebody could set up a doctor's office on the bottom floor, somebody could set up a museum, somebody could set up an art gallery. And so it seems to me if we're going to go through this process, we should have this, we should also look seriously at changing the permitted uses already over there. I think that's kind of a separate issue. You know, but pulling out museums and schools and all those sort of things out of the use, if we're going to have a mixed use, because those aren't mixed use. I mean, it's already creating a mixed use situation. Would you agree on that, too?
I was halfway listening, so I was trying to read one more piece of that. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I was just saying that if we're going to have a mixed use component here, we should probably revise that listing there because it's already, you know, most of what's already that we're trying to track is already allowed to go in there. And that's what a lot of the residents don't realize. They don't realize that somebody could put a museum or a music, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, school. I mean, somebody could put a music school over there.
Without
anything. Yeah, without any.
Well,
it's already an existing permitted use.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, is we're going to do that by doing this. Then we can control, you know, what it looks like. We could ask them to have a, you know, but right now we can't control anything.
Right.
They can do it and without anything. The only thing would be a parking requirement, I think.
So why couldn't we just, instead of taking the use out, like the museum or the art gallery, just make it a special use?
Well, yeah, I mean, we pull out those things. Pull out those things that really make it a mixed use and put those under here. And, you know, we still allow home-based businesses and those sort of things as a use, but take out those things that really are kind of mixed use that are already allowed in it. I mean, an art gallery is clearly a mixed use. You know, that's the sort of thing we're actually trying to attract here that's already allowed, just that we have no control over that. So we wouldn't, you know, somebody could go over and put an art gallery over there. And I don't even think there's a sign ordinance that would address it. They could put a 40-foot sign up. I don't know. Don't get me started on signs.
I'll guarantee you I can stop them.
Okay. All right. That's good.
By the time you got to the parking requirement, there's no possible way.
As long as there's not a clown out there with, you know, saying, "Art, come out, there we go." Spin the sign.
Our ordinances are loose, but they're not that loose.
All right, so I think what we're going to have is that next week we'll have a pretty, in the minutes we'll have a summary of what we've talked about so we can kind of tweak it and put it into some sort of a formal proposal. You're going to have the purpose put together, and then we'll be thinking about this over the next month or so. So I don't think we have to have a motion other than, I guess, technically to table the item until next. Is there a motion to table this item?
So
moved. Second.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is enforcing parking requirements for home-based businesses. I was trying to find that to bring it. John, do you have that?
Sure.
The parking requirements for home-based businesses. What section was that? I was trying to print it off.
You go to Chapter 19, Supplemental District Regulations.
19 dash what?
Let's see. You will be going to section 19-339. Should have a breakdown.
Parking.
That sales spreadsheet type is.
Okay, yeah.
Two parking spaces.
Home occupation, professional offices at home, three parking spaces in addition to residential requirements, two parking spaces in addition to residential requirements for home occupation. The reason I bring that up is I think if we have an ordinance, it needs to be enforced. And if we're not going to enforce something, we should change it. And I would dare to guess that when you look at the privilege licenses that we have here, I don't know how many privilege licenses we have. I know I have one for consulting practice for working with the Department of Defense. But I realize that according to this, I probably need three additional parking spaces to be able to have my home office and type reports in my home office. according to this. Now, that's obviously not going to be enforced, but should we adjust this part of the ordinance to reflect kind of reality, I think?
If you go to the definition of home occupation in our ordinances, it already sets forth parameters that have to be met in regards to no advertising outside your home.
Which I don't do.
One floor. You can't have anything for sale there.
No.
Things of that nature. And so when I've been asked, is it okay for me to have, have my home-based business that I bake goods here and I take them somewhere else to sell them? Is there a problem with that? I said, no.
Right.
As long as you're not bringing somebody to your house and you're not trying to run a bona fide business from your house.
That's the practice, but that's not what the ordinance says.
No, the ordinance does not say that. You're correct.
Okay, the ordinance says that that person would have to have additional parking spaces. So what I'm suggesting is not that we change what we're actually doing, but we change the ordinance to reflect
how we're currently doing it. And we can do that, but, it's within my parameter as a building inspector to interpret that ordinance to have that intent already.
Are you sure?
Once again, if you go to the definition of home occupation.
Yeah, but I...
It says, provided that no article is sold or offered for sale, except such as may be produced by members of the family residing on the premise.
Okay. Right. But that's a definition of a home occupation, which I agree with. I have no problem with that. But then I go over to that parking requirement, and for home occupation, it
like
says that they have to have two parking spaces.
I don't have a problem making it just as clear as daylight.
I have
no problem whatsoever.
I'm a firm believer that if you have an ordinance, it should be enforced. If you're not going to enforce an ordinance, then you change the ordinance to reflect reality. So I would just strongly suggest that specifically that we look at a better way to word section 19-339, items 5 and 6, to allow flexibility.
All right, what if we go to the definitions of item 5 and 6? Edit those to allow more flexibility.
I think we just need to change it. Rather than changing two parking spaces to, just change it to parking spaces required as approved by the building inspector or something like that.
It's not doing anything more than what I'm doing already.
Well, I know, but then the ordinance reflects what you're doing, rather than...
I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Yeah, that would be my suggestion, is that for number 5 and number 6, you simply say... additional parking spaces as required by...
Two parking spaces required if you are allowing visitors into your residence. Something like that?
No, I just say give you the discretion, which is what you already have.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I don't know what everybody else's opinion is, but I think what we ought to do is change that because somebody... a situation like this, if somebody gets mad at a neighbor, they can raise that issue, okay? And then they can walk in and they can force us to enforce that, the way it's written right now. So I'm just saying, just give a discretion.
I do have, one instance of that kind of going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's come in twice and complained. But the process at that point would be, if he didn't like what I had to say, he can go to council, obviously. But he
would walk in with this say, council, please enforce the ordinance that's on the books. And he would have a case.
The correct process would be for him to go to the Board of Adjustments with appeal.
Right. So all I'm suggesting, very, very simply, is just to change that, the wording of 2 and 3 parking spaces in Category 5 and 6 in Section 19-339 to read... parking spaces in addition to residential requirements as per approval by the building inspector, which is what you do already.
Okay.
Logical.
Okay.
Saves me from adding 2 more parking spaces.
I don't want to make you do it anyway.
I know you would.
No.
All right, that would be my motion.
I mean, think that means Alan would need two more too.
Yes.
I mean, do I need?
You would need two more.
Yeah, a lot of people would. That's the problem. So anyways, that would be my motion. Is there a second for the motion?
I will second that motion.
Okay, is there discussion on the motion? Okay. Is there approval? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, this is changing the zoning. Would this have to be a public hearing?
Yes, we'll see.
For a minor... Okay.
That'd be a wording change. We can take it to the town attorney, see if he feels like it's something.
Okay.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay.
Have you got that wording?
Got it on tape.
Can the public hearing be done same time we do a PNC meeting?
It's usually done before the council.
Usually done.
This is going to be a 3-minute public hearing.
Right.
So.
As unless Dean wants to stir it up.
Exactly.
Just leave off.
In case you're still here, buddy.
Why is he out of time?
Just leave off the wording about that saving us parking spaces down.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Next agenda item is new business. Obviously, the new business is the resignation of Denny. Everybody has been aware of that. So I believe the next step is to, and since we're no longer responsible for that, is I believe the council has been informed of that, and so the next step would be that they would advertise and interview for that position.
You didn't have to move. Just had to quit. You didn't have to move. A little less now.
Okay, any other new business? Any member items? Is there a motion? Oops, member items.
Just clarifying, you want me to ask O'Moore what the difference between special and conditional use permits are?
The state of North Carolina.
Was there a second part?
The second part of that is based upon what are in the minutes as what we're semi-proposing for the mixed use. Would it be appropriate to have it under our existing special use permit process? Or would we need to create a conditional use permit process as per what's the name of the state? West Jefferson.
Okay.
What if we just got a definition first and then decide? Do we need to do all that? Nancy would be able to answer that question. Tom Clerk.
He's going to have to get involved sometime because this is going to be a major hearing, I'm sure. So.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Okay. Second. In all favor, say aye.
Aye.
And I guess I'm up for my. I'm sorry. Can we have another thing real quick? I read that, I think somebody sent me that I'm up for my 5-year reappointment. My 5-year term is ending.
Okay.
Okay. I think there's a process, and I think the process is that the council has to approve it, but if I remember right, there's a process that the commission also has to approve it.
I thought it was.
Or does that change when we.
Y'all need to figure out your new chairman every year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which maybe that was it. Okay.
Really should have been tonight, I guess. Right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well. We'll put that on the agenda next month.
Okay, all right, okay.
I'm
so we'll put that on the agenda next year, but we don't have to do anything about the. My 5-year.
I think that's automatic. I think.
Oh, no, I look forward to this every month. All right, great. All right, thank you.
All right, so next month.
Thank you.
There it goes. Jesse, you got it.
Good to go. Thanks.